And we think, well, I'm doing this other stuff over here, so I should be covered. But if we truly lived in the reverence of God, we would recognize that we are missing a lot of certain, a lot of things. I'm going to do a series. So I'll do a couple of others, willing, in the next couple of weeks, if I'm not led to do something else, to show you certain ones that we probably have read, we know exist, and but we've probably said, oh, well, no big deal, even though God clearly tells us about it. This one is called favoritism, and it's called a sin that must be dealt with, and it is a sin. God chose it, and he's clear about it, that favoritism is a sin. We see in James 2:9, he says, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. Plain and simple, you sin. Okay? So he's showing us that. Here's the problem. If we just use our definition of favoritism, okay, and we're going to kind of see some definitions here, and we'll go over that. It would be if I pick something or someone over something else. Correct? Okay? That would be favoritism. Why did I choose this one over it? The problem is that my whole life I'd be in trouble. I mean, why did I wear what I wore today? Why did I take the way to church that I took today? Why, when I go to lunch, did I pick the lunch place I went to? And why did I pick the thing off the menu that I picked? Right? That means I'd have to include everybody in everything, and I have to be included in everything. And I can go on down the list. How and why and something's wrong. And this is one reason why people said, I really can't do this, or they struggle with this, because they're doing it based off of their definition. Now, God, for everything he gives us in his word, gives us his definition. Let's get an understanding first. Christians are required to follow the law of Christ, and favoritism breaks it. When he asked for the two greatest commands, the second one, as we see in James 2:8, he says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That's law of Christ. That means I have to love, and my neighbor is everyone. When it usually says brother, it's talking about Christians, other Christians. When it says neighbor, that's everyone. So I have to love my neighbor as you love yourself, you are doing right. Okay? If I do that. Now, it sounds so simple, but you'd be surprised how many of us are not doing that. We are not loving as we love ourselves. Now, how do we love ourselves should be the question you ask. And the first command shows us that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And if I'm doing that, I'm loving myself. Okay? So when I do what the Bible says, I'm loving me. So how do I love you? By loving God. Doing what God tells me to do for you, to you, with you, then I'm loving you. Does that make sense? That's how I'm loving myself. I'm doing what God's telling me to do for me, to me, with me. And I have to make sure I'm covering all that by depending on him. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Altogether, God commands us to do all he says without partiality. It says in 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. What does nothing include? Everything. All right. So you catch that. So I'm not ever to do anything out of favoritism. So I got to understand what favoritism is. I have to know what it is. Now, I'm going to ask three questions, and we'll answer these at the end. Okay, look at these three questions. Is it favoritism when you choose someone to marry? Is it favoritism to have a main sports team or singer you really like? Is it favoritism to hire your friend instead of having interviews? Those are just three that would come to mind and make you go, oh, wait a minute, I don't know. Now, why I throw those out there is these are questions you should have asked to see if you're truly following God anyway. These are just three of millions of questions you could probably ask. Well, am I playing favorites? Am I doing something he told me not to do? Let's see what the Bible gives as a definition first. First of all, before we can successfully answer any of these and follow his commands, we must know what favoritism really is. It comes from the Greek word prosopopsi. I'm not going to say it again. So it's partiality, favoritism, respect of person. Okay? When I choose the person based on. Now you can fill in that blank. Okay? So it's favoritism when I choose them based on. Now, let me give you an example of something, sometimes what God does. He gives us the main definition of something, and then he gives us the basis that we're supposed to walk on, like he did with faith, okay? Where he shows us what faith is. And that faith would be in anything. Hebrews 11:1, where it tells you, okay, faith is a substance of things unknown and the evidence of things hoped for. That isn't anything. Okay. However, I'm supposed to have faith in God. But that adds the element that I need. Same thing with favoritism. When it says based on, okay, when you understand that this part of it, respect of person, is going to be a based on something. There's going to be something that I'm allowing to be my reason of why I am doing this or that thing or person, if that makes sense. Favoritism, as I have here, is to choose something simply for my desires or desirable reasons and not necessarily best fit for reasons at hand, i.e. race, gender, relationship, attraction, benefits, so on and so forth. Now, here's the key. Christians must take God into all considerations. That's going to be the key maker right there. Christians must. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, I prayed about it. Have you ever people do that? I did it and I prayed about it. Okay, well, did it change? We think because I said I prayed about it, and then I can go ahead and make a bad decision. Do you understand that? No, no. What it means is, if God were to go, why did you make that decision? My answer better point towards him. Did y'all catch that? It can't go, well, God, I prayed about it. It has to come back to him. Well, because your word said is why I made this decision. Think about it. On the surface, you would say Jesus played favorites because why did he only pick 12? And why did he pick those 12? And then out of those 12, how come he would only pick those three? Do y'all see how our definition can really distort things if we're not careful? But we know Jesus did exactly what his father told him. Okay, so it's not always going to be on the surface of what I pick. It's going to be fully based on God. The fear or the problem with favoritism is usually based off of me on what I want or what I see as desirable. And that's what's been messing us up in the first place. Okay, based on us. The key to know if it's favoritism or not is purpose. What is my reason for doing? Let's look out some things. First of all, so what otherwise would be considered favoritism is not because it's commanded by God. So look at this here. He shows in Galatians 6 verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Now, if he stopped there, we go, amen. But then he throws an especially in there, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The reason why it's not favoritism is because God said so. Now, I can go over why. I mean, the Bible kind of explains on this one why he says especially believers. Why especially? And biggest reason is because we're all one body and we have to take care of ourselves before we can help others. OK, but not to get deep into that. God said it. So immediately because God said it, I must do it. And it's not favoritism. Does that make sense? If I do it for the house of believers for any other reason, then it is. Y'all with me? All right. So this is the key. I have to know in the word when God does pick out certain people and certain things that I am supposed to deal with, and I'm supposed to deal with them because God said so. And it's automatically not favoritism. If I treat a person differently, not based on God, I sin. Watch this. He says in James 2:1-4, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. See this again. He says, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and poor shabby man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? In other words, what was your basis for that decision? What made you pick? And that's why you use two, a poor person and a rich person, a way a person is dressed. Now, unfortunately, our culture is designed that way. That's why we get dressed up when we go on interviews. And that's why you'll hear people say, that's how you're supposed to dress. And you'll hear that comment. And that does sound good. And there's some truth to it. But we've put so much on outside look, we've become discriminatory. Amen? We treat people different on how they look, on how they are. Favoritism. We did that. We added this characteristic in the world and we honor it. But God said, no, I didn't tell you to do that. Right? It wasn't based on him. It was based on us. And we tend to do that a lot. That's why I have, when you make judgments based on us and how we see it, is usually selfishly distorted. You'll be able to reason why you made that decision. Amen. As a manager, when I was a manager at one point, we had to hire somebody and people came in. And I know they tell us in the whole managering thing how you have to pick them. And we had some people that came in. They were really well put together. They went through the process and they went through everything that they were supposed to. And we had some that came in. And you're like, what were you thinking when you came in here? Now, I remember one, we had to make a decision and the person we picked did not fit how the look should have been. All right. But as everything went through, they were one of the best employees I've ever had. Do you understand this? Now, the key showed me is I can't make that decision. That's why I have to rely on God. Because if I rely on me, you can fool me. Right? I think a lot of us get fooled. When you go on a date 20 years later, amen, you know, you look at them later. I know I still look as good as I did when I met my wife. Right, hon? All right, she's not saying amen. So we'll work on that later. But do you understand how that whole thing works? You know, you first meet them, we look our best, don't we? And then later on, you're like, oh, we're not dating anymore. What's going on? But that's the problem because we choose off of that. Am I right? We go off of how things look and not what God is saying, not leaning upon God. When we do for one group and not another, it must be based on God for it not to be favoritism. Matthew 33:34-36 says, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now, he's given specific groups of people that were in need. Now, I heard this one time, this guy who was arguing about something. And the point he made of is, why should I do for these other people and not do for everybody? He was like, that's unfair. That was his mentality. Okay, and in a worldly sense, if somebody really thought about it, they're like, yeah, I guess we must do the same thing for everybody. So if I give to this person who doesn't have to eat, I have to give to people who do have to eat. Now, we as Christians hopefully are going, that's foolish. But the world's going, nope, keep everything fair. That's not what God is saying. God is saying, oh, no. He makes actually really clear on what we are supposed to do for those in need. Not favoritism. In fact, it's mandated by God. That is our responsibility. And it's not favoritism. In fact, if we don't, and if you ever get a chance and you read Matthew 20, in what Matthew is showing, and later on in it, he basically said those who do not do that will end up in hell. Get a chance, read all of that. You know, go back to Matthew 35 and all of that and just read that whole entire selection. He broke them up into the two groups. And it's like, if you don't look after them, you allow these people to stray you in the wrong way, you have to answer to God. We are required to look out for the weak and needy. Psalms 41:1 says, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. Proverbs 14:31 says, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. In other words, this is a mandate. This is something, a command he's telling us I must do and not go, well, I pick this group over this group. This group I must pick, and it's not favoritism. Y'all see this? Okay? Be very careful, because I'm hearing Christians sometimes use certain things that we're supposed to do, and they'll use human fairness or human favoritism over what God is showing favoritism. Now, the reason why I gave these examples is to try to kind of stir your mind a bit so you can throw out the stuff that you may have had in your mind concerning favoritism and understand. So then what does it mean for me not to have favoritism? How can I readjust so I'm not playing favorites? So watch this. How we deal with others is another way to show if we truly trust in God or not. You know how we tithe and offering? The main reason we do it is not so because God needs money to pay his bills and stuff like that. Do you understand? We do it to show God we trust in God. A lot of stuff God does is to see if you are truly following him. He'll put you in circumstances, because a lot of us love, you know, we're singing the songs like we did and we say we praise him and thank you, Lord. And then God says, OK, I'm going to put you through something in life and see how you respond, because you say you trust in me. Now, this situation happened. What did you do? What you do or how you respond will display if you trust in him or if you were just going through the motions. How many times do we fail? And this is another one of those things. How I treat other people is showing if I trust in God. Doesn't matter if you say you trust in God. If I truly trust in God, how I treat others will be fully based on him or not. That's the key to favoritism. He shows us in Luke 14, 12 to 14. Then Jesus said to his hosts, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What he's showing me is I have to look to him to make these decisions. Now, I think in the world, a lot of us would say, but these other people, if I haven't invited them, I would have enjoyed them. You know, I could have got stuff out of them. I would have benefited. And he said, yep, hopefully that's what you're living for, because that's what you're going to get. Do you get where I'm coming from? If you're doing for them, and how many of us, we network to meet other people so our careers and things can be better. Sounds great, and something we encourage. And we do that a lot more than we do living for God. So we're basically telling God, hey, my networking is what's going to get me further than actually obeying you. Amen? We do stuff for our kids because we want to see them do better based on what the world says better instead of what God says better. Do y'all see how this works? We mean well. We'll send them to the best school. We give them the best this. We make sure they have the best of that. When it comes to church, oh, well, if they want to go, if they want to pay attention, if they didn't pay attention as much as they do in church, in school, you would have a fit. Amen? Come on. We say they can't sit through that person talking that time. Well, you do know they go to school. They listen to a person sitting there talking all that time. But we give them an excuse in church. So are we truly trusting in God? Y'all see how this works? Okay. Favoritism is going to be based on how did I make that decision? It was because God said. Where is this coming from? It comes from God. When it comes down to it, to truly glorify God, I'm not looking out for me, but for others through God. Everybody say through God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We know that one. Okay. He used two simple things that we do every day, but then he added everything into it. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So everybody had something to drink today. Did you drink it to the glory of God? Well, Pastor, I don't know. Right? And that's what usually happens. Even though he said this, do we really check and go, well, how am I doing this to glorify God? Or do you just do it? Do you just go, amen, Pastor, and then take a drink? Was that to the glory? Do you understand what that means? And if you don't, the next step should be, I got to understand how to glorify God. Correct? Right? Isn't that how we're supposed to do it? He goes on to say, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greek, or of the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Ah. He hit our key reason for being down here is for others' salvation. Do y'all get that? My sole main purpose for keeping me here after I accepted him is for others to accept him. My whole life is to be a ministry to others to accept him. So that means I'm going to watch how I eat. I'm going to watch how I drink. Why? To make sure it doesn't cause a stumbling block to you and that it ministers to you. Everything that I do. It's how it's supposed to be. Some things, everything. Do y'all get this? You know, it's something that we always keep in mind and we stay focused on because I'm not seeking my own good. If I miss out every time, guess what? I miss out every time. Some of you are like, well, I'm tired of being the one to miss out every time. But it's not about you. You being tired has nothing to do with it. It's God. How can I glorify you? Peter went as far as to say, if eating meat causes my brother to fall, I'll never eat meat again. He got it. He was like, oh, my freedoms have absolutely nothing to do with this. But when they do, that's favoritism. Because I'm excluding God. Now I'm caught in that mold where it's based on something other than God. He says, I'm not seeking the good of my own, seeking my own good, but the good of others. Of many, I'm sorry, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Very clear and something we have to do. So here's the only way, based on God's word, how we are to avoid favoritism. This is the only way that we're going to be able to clearly not get caught up in favoritism. First of all my judgments must be righteous. All my judgments must be right. It says in John 7, verse 24, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Now, Christians say that, and we say we're doing all that, and we say we're following all that, right? But usually, we're not. We still allow our appearances or what, how people look and how things look to make us make our decision. Amen? Okay? And that's a major, major problem. So when he says make right judgments, the Bible shows to us exactly how I make right judgments, and that means I have to do everything through him. Here's an example from Jesus himself. Christ gives us this example in John 5, verse 30. John 5, verse 30 says, by myself, I can do nothing. Now, Jesus is saying this. Do y'all see this? He's saying, by myself, I can do nothing. He's saying, I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Now, how many of us make that type of judgment? I only make a judgment based on God, period. Can we all say that? Do we do that? And I know we don't. And I wish I could say I did. You know what I mean? And this is where he's saying this is the right judgment we're supposed to make. But we allow how we feel, how we see, what our experiences, all that other stuff plays in there. And then we try to throw God in on it. Instead of, like Jesus says, nothing by myself. He basically told him, you'll never hear my opinion. I'm just going to give you what God says on this. And not some I got a feeling God says. It's going to be based on God's word. Do y'all get this? All right. So the decisions will be fully based on God. So that's the first thing. OK, I must make the right judgment. Secondly, nothing I can do can be based on me or how I see it. Nothing that I do can be based on me or how I see it. We read this one a lot, and this should be something that everybody should have hung up on your walls, and it should be something you read before you go out for the day and before you go to sleep and even when you're talking through the day, because if you really are doing this, we wouldn't run into the problem of favoritism. We wouldn't run into the problem of doing the decisions we do. Look what it says in Philippians 2:3-4. He says, do nothing. Nothing includes everything, okay. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Stop there for a minute. So he first told me what I'm never supposed to use. And let me break it down so for you to understand it. I'm never to do anything based on what I want or how I see it. Did y'all catch that? Never to do anything fully based on what I want or how I see it. Now, a lot of us already have a problem with that because we already think the way I see it is right. I mean, you have to have it wrong. You must be wrong. Amen. But we tend to do this. I remember years ago, the former pastor, Pastor Summer, he's in China and he brought a group of people, young, I guess, high school kids with him from China here. Now, and I remember when we set up everything, we made a lot of what we thought was excellent food. Right. Y'all remember that. Okay, man, they're going to come here. They're going to love it. They're going to eat. We put out a spread. It was great. Man, they looked at it and turned their noses up. And they wanted no part of it. And the problem was, it was fully based on how we seen it. We eat it. We love it. You ain't taste the macaroni and cheese. What is the matter? Right? Our mindset is how we seen it and how we thought. How many times do we do that? We invite somebody somewhere and we have a whole lot of us because we think it's great. Right? You know what I mean? I've heard people at work. I worked in one area and there was certain music they listened to. Man, they loved it. And I'm kind of, okay, that's nice. What you don't like, right? And they looked at me like something's the matter with you because you don't, once again, based on them and how they see it, what is the matter with you? Y'all with me? Okay. So he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So if I were to do that, I'm going to consider you in everything because he says, do nothing out of that. Amen. Okay, so I got to consider you in everything. It says, but in humility, and we talked about being humble, consider others better than yourselves. That means I always have to consider you. I don't go, they don't know what they're talking about. Wait till they come here and they eat this. The whole thing is, they may not like it. So we'll provide it, but we'll also say, what else can we make that would make them comfortable, that would help them? How many times do we do that with people? When they get in your car, do you go, is it too cold or is it too hot? Is this too loud? Is the windows? Do you do that or do you go, I'm the one driving, they got to deal with me. You don't like, you can get out. How many do we do that? Or do we really look and consider them, right? And this is all the time. And some of us may say, well, Pastor, if I do it all the time, I'm always going to end up on the other end. Amen. Allow God to bless you. I'd rather receive God's blessings than this temporary comfort. Does that make sense? Amen. We got to do it based on him. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, so your interests are part of it, but it can never be it. He says, but also the interests of others. Watch this. Even if my judgment is in line with God, if it's not based on God, it's favoritism. Did y'all catch that? So even though, let's say I make a decision on something and it ends up to be something that's in the Bible, if my reason for doing it wasn't in the Bible, did y'all catch that? It's purpose. My purpose is wrong. And that one incident may be right, but the overall thing is wrong. God must be the main purpose. So when he tells me to make sure it's never based on me and based on how I see it, it makes me search him. Why am I in the Word of God? To understand how I'm supposed to live and what I'm supposed to do, so I'm not playing favorites. If you notice, favoritism is more complex than what we think. You know what I mean? It's something that I think we tried to make cut and dry, or we just forgot about it and walked away. So in studying this, and as you go through this and you get to know this better, remember this last part. Be warned, how we treat others will dictate how we are treated. James 2, 12 through 13 says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be, everybody say will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If I make decisions based off of my judgment, but I don't show God's true mercy, and I'm doing favoritism based off of how I see it, that's what's going to happen to me. Not may happen to me, is what's going to happen to me. Everybody with me? So let's get an understanding that favoritism is something that we got to be clear of, and to clearly not do it, always take everything through God. Amen? As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to thank our Father for all that he has done for us, to think about his word, think about all that he has given us. Amen. For those of you who want somebody to pray with you, make sure you see one of us, myself or one of the deacons after service. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as we should do as an example to our children and along with our children, is pray continually. Amen. Prayer and meditation. Right. Hopefully we're continually thanking him. We're doing it at all times for everything that we're going through. Amen. Help yourselves with refreshments. Once you come back in, we will be starting a new study on stewardship.